This is From Fear to Fabulous with Natalie Eve Marquis, Episode 2.
Welcome to From Fear to Fabulous, the podcast that helps you transform fear, heal emotional wounds, gain absolute clarity, and live a fabulous life. Now here's your host, master intuitive healer, coach, and teacher, Natalie Eve Marquis.
Hey, so today I want to talk about the emotion that no one likes to talk about. So what is that emotion? That emotion is fear. Did you ever read the Harry Potter series? You know, our avoidance of talking about this emotion reminds me of the Harry Potter story itself. My son was 10 years old when the first book in the series, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, was first released. We took turns reading that book out loud to each other while on a family road trip. And after that, we were hooked on the Harry Potter series. I remember we'd eagerly look forward to the release date of each subsequent book after that. I'd always been a voracious reader and wanted my son to enjoy reading as well. So I'd encourage him by letting him read the book first while I patiently waited. Okay, not so patiently. Waited until he was finished reading the book, and then I'd read it. Those are some really fun memories for me. In any case, the emotion that no one likes to talk about reminds me of how no one would speak the villain's name in the Harry Potter series. Instead, they would refer to the villain as "he who should not be named," or "you know who." They had a superstitious belief that saying his name out loud gave him more power. And in the final book, "he who should not be named" put a curse on his name so that even uttering it acted like a beacon and summoned the Death Eaters. Frightening, I know. For those of you that haven't read the Harry Potter series, "he who should not be named" is Lord Voldemort. I find it interesting, and probably no coincidence, that the name Voldemort means flight of death. I feel this is exactly what happens when we don't talk about the emotion that no one likes to talk about. When we don't talk about it, it controls us, and we experience a flight of death, or more to the point, a slow death of our spirit and zest for life. Fear is the boogeyman we hide from. This idea occurred to me when I was doing some really fabulous one-on-one interviews with some of my subscribers. I found it interesting that most said that they didn't experience fear. Instead, they said they felt doubtful and unsure about what to do next. You can call it by other names, but in truth, the key driver behind all feelings of doubt and lack of clarity is the fear of making the wrong choice, of making the wrong decision, or perhaps even failing because of that choice or decision down the line. Fear is a spectrum. From instinctual fear that propels us to run from an attacker, to normal or healthy fears that inspire us to take good care of our health or plan for retirement, to irrational fears that don't make sense but hold us prisoner anyway. Feeling fear sucks, yet it's ultimately designed to protect and help us. However, it can only do this if we face the fear and name it. Unfortunately, all too often we stuff it down. Sometimes we stuff it so far out of sight that we've almost forgotten it's there. Almost. Because it's still there, lurking beneath the surface. We know it's there because we feel stuck, stagnant, lost, or confused. Many of my clients tell me, "I don't know what I want or what to do. I don't know if I should leave my husband. I don't know if I should take that job. I don't know if I should move. I don't know what my purpose is." Most of the time, this isn't true. They do know. It's just gotten buried beneath a bunch of garbage. My job as a healer and a coach is to help them recognize and get comfortable with their own truth and to encourage them as they take action. Please know, I totally understand why you don't want to look at fear, never mind deal with it. I don't have a degree in psychology, but I do have a ton of life experience, maybe even the equivalent of a master's degree when it comes to fear. I struggled with fear and anxiety in my teens, battled panic and anxiety attacks in my 20s and early 30s, And in my journey to heal, I read a boatload of books, tried many things that helped and a lot that didn't, all the while dodging fear like the Death Eaters in the Harry Potter series. Eventually, thanks to my counselor at the time, I discovered and read Jon Kabat-Zinn's book, The Full Catastrophe. And after that, I immediately signed up for an 8-week mindfulness-based stress reduction program that the book was based on. That 8-week program radically changed my life for the better. 8 weeks later, no more panic attacks. For more than 25 years, thanks to an almost daily practice of meditation and mindfulness, I had no anxiety or panic attacks, just the normal amount of fear. During that time, I ran a successful marketing company, got divorced, traveled cross-country twice by myself to places where I didn't know a soul, and started a new life. I got pretty good at facing normal fear and moving through it. Then this past June, I experienced some trauma that triggered the anxiety attacks once more. In some ways, it was worse than my previous battle with anxiety. The practice of mindfulness, coupled with the daily intuitive work I do as a healer, reader, and coach, has made me hyper aware of my internal landscape. Suddenly, I was painfully aware of almost every anxiety-related thought, feeling, and sensation as it moved through my system. The upside was that I had the tools and knowledge from my earlier experience to guide me. I also discovered new tools like thought field therapy, also known as TFT, organic intelligence, and the DARE response book on anxiety. All were hugely helpful resources. I found TFT so helpful that I became a certified practitioner myself. My point is, I have deep experience and knowledge about fear, how it works, how to overcome it, and I'm always learning more about it. I truly and compassionately understand why you don't like fear and why we so often avoid it at all costs. The important thing I want you to know is that we give fear more power when we don't face it, and we give it more power when we don't name it. Monica Berg, the author of Fear is Not an Option, says, "You feed the fear every time you give into it." My goal is to inspire you to face your fear, to bring it into the light and name it. This is our point of power. Only then can we diffuse it, shift it, and transform it. So how do we transform fear? I'll show you one of the ways I work with fear in a moment, but first let's review why it's important to bring fear into the light. It's important to bring our fears into the light and name it, because when our fears stay hidden, they grow and our world shrinks. Fear controls our lives. It holds us back. When we don't face and name our fear, we contract. We don't speak up. We repress our thoughts, feelings, and desires. We avoid. We ignore. We distract ourselves with food, booze, drugs, shopping, sex, gossip, gambling, and mindless busyness. We blame the economy, our parents, our partner, the kids, or karma. We survive rather than thrive. We ignore our instincts and our intuition. We become stagnant and stale. Fear keeps us living in a prison, but it's a prison of our own making. Fear keeps us living in our comfort zone instead of expanding into our passion zone. It's time to take our power back, to bring fear into the light, to name it, and work with it so we can change our lives for the better. I serve as a living example that this is truly possible. Here are a few things to know about fear. According to a Google search, the online Oxford Dictionary says, "Fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by a belief that someone or something is dangerous and likely to cause pain or threat." Let me read that one more time. Fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by a belief that someone or something is dangerous and likely to cause pain or threat. The two key elements I want you to remember from this definition is that fear is an emotion and it's caused by a belief. Another way to think of this is fear is an emotion caused by our thoughts. Fear is an emotion caused by our thoughts. This is great news, actually. It's great news because we can change our thoughts. And when we change our thoughts, we change how we feel. This isn't some law of attraction mumbo jumbo. I'm not saying just think happier thoughts. There are strategies that we can use to change our thinking and feeling patterns into ones that fuel us rather than drain us. I'm going to dive into some of these in future podcasts. 2, fear often lies. Unless it's instinctual fear and someone is mugging you or a dog is attacking you, then quite often the fear is a lie. The brain's job is to protect us. It has a negative bias and it's programmed to see potential threats everywhere. Most of our fears in this day and age are not real threats. They are imaginary. So don't believe everything fear tells you. Rudyard Kipling said, "Of all the liars in the world, sometimes the worst are our fears." And another wise person gave us a handy acronym for fear, telling us that it's false evidence appearing real. 3, the next thing to know about fear is that it's normal. It really is. It's just a part of being a human. It's part of the human condition. Most of us feel a little of it every day, especially if we're pursuing our passions and trying new things. So expect some fear. Prepare for it. Learn to live with the discomfort that fear brings. Actors and athletes do this. They learn to let stage fright and nervous pre-event energy move through them to fuel their performance. Eventually, I want you to think of fear as being so normal, it almost becomes boring to you. So you almost say to yourself, oh, there it is again. Fear, worry, doubt, trepidation, anxiety, unease. Hello there. It must mean I'm stretching my comfort zone on the way to living my potential. Yay me. That's how I want you to think of fear. 4, fear creates a biological response in the body. Our emotions create sensations in our body. The fight, flight, or freeze response that fear generates causes physical sensations in our body, anywhere from a tightening in our gut to heart pounding, narrowed vision, and shortness of breath. When a real threat occurs, this response is meant to get us to take action that will save our lives. However, unhelpful thinking patterns can cause these very same responses. This is where generalized anxiety and stress-related anxiety come from. The key to navigating our feelings of anxiety is to keep our awareness and focus on the sensations in the body. This gives the sensations time to expend themselves without fueling them with more anxious thoughts. The DARE response book on anxiety goes into great detail on this, and I highly recommend it if you struggle with anxiety on a regular basis. I'll share a link in the show notes for you. 5, most of our fears are based on old programming and old thought patterns. According to the Cleveland Clinic, we have about 60,000 thoughts per day. And of those, 80% of them are negative, and 95% are repetitive. That's worth repeating. 80% are negative and 95% are repetitive. This means we think the same unhelpful junk every day. And the more we think junky thoughts, the more our brain gives us more junky thoughts and the more junky things we experience in life. The good news is that we can change this. It's completely within our power to change our minds. We do it all the time. We do it every day, in fact. Rather than wear the slacks and the blouse that I picked out the night before, I can decide to wear a dress instead. Rather than eat the lunch I brought to work, I can go out with my friends for lunch. Rather than watch the next episode of Madam Secretary, I can decide to watch a comedy instead. Granted, the thoughts that come from old programming are more habitual and therefore maybe a little bit stickier, and it will require, you know, some awareness and persistence to change them. But changing them is completely within our power. 6, fear has a lot of synonyms, but they all boil down to the same thing. Here are some words to help you name your fear. Some intense words for fear are terror, horror, alarm, panic, phobia, fright. On the more moderate spectrum, we have agitation, dread, nervous, worried, jittery, scared. And on the lower end of the spectrum, we feel concern, uneasy, apprehensive, timid, doubtful, angst, trepidation, and maybe hesitation. So what do we do once we name our fear? Well, first, pat yourself on the back, because that's huge. We can't change what we can't name. So when you name it, you're no longer resisting and ignoring it. You've brought your fear into the light. Naming your fear is the first step in transforming it. The second step is to get to know your particular fear. And for this, I find questioning and journaling to be particularly helpful techniques for unearthing and working with fear. But first, a side note. This work that I'm about to suggest is primarily for those experiencing fear that is in the mid to low end of the spectrum. If you're in the throes of a high-level anxiety attack or a panic attack, you'll want to wait for the anxiety to subside before doing the following work. At this point, thinking about the anxiety produces more thoughts that would just fuel more anxiety. Once your body calms, then you can try the following techniques. One of the brilliant things I learned from Brooke Castillo of the Life Coach School podcast is that all emotions come from thoughts. I probably read that concept in other books a dozen different ways, but when I heard her talk about what she calls the self-coaching model, it's like a billion light bulbs went off in my head. It felt like, aha, like the missing piece of managing my mental mindset had finally landed in my lap. Hallelujah, I thought. I'll go into the model in detail in future episodes, but for now, knowing that all emotions come from thoughts is huge. This means we can use our emotions to trace back and find the unhelpful thoughts and limiting beliefs that created the emotion. So the first thing I do is sit quietly and notice how I'm feeling. Then I ask myself, what was I thinking just before I felt this way? Or what are the thoughts that are causing this feeling? Then I write down every single thought that crosses my mind. I just purge them all onto paper. I get that junk out of my head and onto paper. So if you're worried about making it more real by writing about your fears, don't worry. Actually, it's much more helpful to write them down because now you're taking action and expending some of the energy that fear is creating in your body. So it is really helpful to write it, get it out of your head and just get it onto paper. To ensure you're really getting all of your fears down on paper, I find it sometimes helpful to ask myself or to say this to myself. If I'm completely honest with myself, I'm really afraid that. And write whatever comes to mind. Next, I find it helpful to take my biggest fear from the purging that I've done, and then I ask myself a series of questions that go something like this. Is what the fear telling me, is it absolutely true? Could it be proved in a court of law? And what would be the worst outcome if this fear was realized? And what might I do about it? So for example, if I have fears around launching a new business and failing, one of my fears could be that I'd go bankrupt and I'd have to rely on my family and friends. So just keep writing what the worst outcome could be and what you might do about it, and make a very extensive list of that. And then the next question I ask is, what evidence around me supports the fear-based thought? You know, like what is in my environment or experience that actually could confirm that fear, that fear might be true? So example might be, you know, like a friend of mine had to declare bankruptcy when his internet business failed. That's proof, you know, that people start businesses and they fail. So I just write down examples that confirm it. So after I've done the examples that confirm it, then I ask the opposite question. What evidence around me contradicts that fear? So for example, I've met lots of small business owners whose businesses are growing and thriving and doing really well. Plus, I also came across some research conducted by the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics that say only 20% of new businesses fail during the first year. So if I have a plan and I manage my business well and get the right mentoring and support, I have a pretty good chance of being successful as well. After doing this exercise of exploring all the worst outcomes that could possibly happen and what I might do if they did happen, as well as gathering evidence that either supports the fear-based thought or contradicts it, then I can sit with it and ask myself, or perhaps even decide, that this is a fear that I can actually face, and that in my heart of hearts, I really want to move forward. So if this is you in your case, how do you know what to do next? Well, what I do next is I ask myself, if I knew I couldn't fail, this is what I would do next. And I make a list of 5 to 10 possible baby steps or action steps that I can take that will move me in the direction of my goal or my dreams. And then I pick one, and I do that one thing today. Emotion is energy that wants to move. This means the energy of the fear will begin to subside once you start taking action. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Do the thing you fear, and the death of fear is certain." When we boil it all down, the Harry Potter series is a story about the power of love and one's ability to overcome fear. The truth is, we all have this ability within us to let what we love and what we're passionate about be bigger than our fear. To use the energy of that love and that passion to help alchemize and move us through the fear. It's not magic, it's a choice. And it's one that can give you new life should you choose to name your fear and move through it. So here are some questions to ponder from today's episode. For each area of your life, such as career, relationships, health, finance, and so on, ask yourself for each one of those areas, what am I afraid of? And then ask yourself, how do I distract myself from fear? And then lastly, how do I want to feel instead? I've created a free handout of the journaling and questioning technique that I talked about in today's episode. You can download it from the show notes. You'll also find links to all of my sources that I've referenced here in the show notes as well. I'd love to know if you found today's episode helpful. Did it inspire you to bring some of your fears into the light? Did you learn something new? Or did it affirm something you've already been practicing? I'd love to know that too. So please share your thoughts and questions over at nataliemarquis.com. Thanks for hanging out with me today. I really appreciate it, and I hope you have a fabulous day.
Thank you for listening to the From Fear to Fabulous podcast. It would be so fabulous if you would take a moment to subscribe and write a quick review about us on iTunes. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you'd like us to cover, then please visit us at nataliemarquis.com.